T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's go!
Now it's the Mercedes in the Morning pre-show. Mix 94.1.
Welcome to the pre-show. Here we are. It is Tuesday, September 15th. So happy to have you guys joining us today. Let's shout out everyone who is checking in on Twitter. Follow us at Mercedes in the AM. You'll get current show updates. We'll have stuff after the show. We have Cassidy checking in. We have Mike. We have Michelle. We have Bill. We have Rose all listening this morning. Brian just checked in. Also, you can check in on our Finley, Volkswagen, and Henderson text line at 702-364-9400. You can even call us at that number. Natasha is checking in. So is Buffalo, Larry, and Ashley. Perla, Rick, Diana, and Sarah. Melissa and Francis. Peter and Kiki. Miss Kit Kat, Deborah, Joby, Turtle and Booble, Rudy, Nelsie, Cujo, Sandell is checking in, Tap, Lance, Maria, Kirkland, Aubrey, all listening. And I want to share the sentiment that Sandell sent in with us for us this morning. Sad Tuesday, the Knights lost. Yes, that was a heartbreaker to see that their season is now over. The good news is we don't have as long as a break in between seasons, so they'll be starting up here soon again. But yeah, that was so sad. I was so bummed out last night. Hockey is over for this season for us.
I thought they had it too, up 2-0. I thought they looked strong last night. I thought this is the run. They're going to take it tonight, and we're going to start the run to winning the series. But yeah, sadly, big change of events in last night's game. But I hope the players know. I mean, how much they just, I mean, it's just an amazing team as far as winning and playing. But, you know, at a time coming out of the pandemic, but coming out of lockdown and getting together to watch hockey and just kind of bringing the city back together with watching them play. So, I mean, I hope they know how much we appreciate them.
Always a fan, win or lose, for sure.
I
did feel like they did not look like themselves in this series against Dallas. I felt like when they played the Canucks, they were just solid, man. There was no stopping them. They looked so good and so fast. And there was something about this series, and maybe it was just me, that they looked like they were always playing defense. Like, they never looked like they were going, you know, on a scoring spree or anything like that. It was interesting to see. And I remember everyone saying, man, I hope we play Dallas instead of Colorado, because Dallas will be so much easier to beat. And then I don't know where Dallas came from. It's like, oh, man. So
how did you feel they looked last night? Did you feel they looked strong last night? Or you still felt like something was not the team we know?
I think they have moments where they look like the old team. But yeah, they just, to me, they always look like they're playing on their heels. Like, they're just always waiting to see what they're going to do and how they're going to defend it. I never felt like they were like, let's go, you know? I don't know what it is. I got to imagine being in that bubble for so long. It's got to be so grinding. And just, I'm sure they are so excited to come see their families.
I was thinking about that too. It's like, yeah, they got to be bummed that they're just a couple wins away from going to the Stanley Cup again. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, okay, now we get to go back to our city, go back to our families, see our friends, get some freedom outside of staying in this bubble for the past couple of months. You've watched more of the games than I have, and I just want, so they still have a home and away team when they're playing. Do they change the crowd noise to favor who is the home team?
Yeah, like when we are the home team during the national anthem, you'll hear the crowd say, "Night!"
Okay.
Or we'll have Golden Pipes sing our national anthem when we're the home team. Do you know who Golden Pipes is?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Okay, sorry, you just gave a weird look. I was thinking
the quick question I was going to ask you. Yeah, he's been on the show, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, they do have that, the crowd noise. But I feel like that's at the beginning of the game, and then I feel like it kind of changes because then they'll show like one of the Dallas Stars players if they score a goal. And so at the beginning it is. I didn't really notice for the rest of the game, though.
Yeah, has anybody noticed that? Because last night, I think they were the home team. So when Dallas scores, there should be booing. There should be loud boos. There should be anger. And then when something goes our way, it should be super applause if it truly is the home team and away team.
Well, I think everyone gets the horn when they score. And normally, if they're playing here, they don't get the horn but if they score.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Yeah, little tweaks there. Maybe hopefully we're never in a bubble again, but we need to pay attention to these little details, I think.
Yeah, it was a sad ending to this. I don't want to say it was a great season. It was great to have hockey during this time, but man, what a weird year. What a weird season. So yeah, that's that. And now I guess we have football to focus on. I'm focusing on basketball because my hometown team is doing very well, the Denver Nuggets. So I'm happy about that.
And we still got our Aces, who are the number one seed in the WNBA in the playoffs. And their first game will be Sunday. The playoffs start today, but they have off till Sunday for their first game.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
All right. Well, Macy's Parade is trending this morning, and it looks like the holidays are going to look a little different this year. The annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will go virtual in 2020 amid the pandemic. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio made the announcement, said it will not be a live parade, but something that will, quote, really give us the warmth and that great feeling we have here on Thanksgiving Day. The parade has been going on for nearly 100 years. It's not going to happen.
I'm still, I wish it would be the real deal, but I'm happy we'll still get something. We did the Summerlin Patriotic Parade this past summer, and that was a virtual parade, and they pulled that thing off together in less than a month, I think they did it, and a very small team, and it was, when it was all said and done, it was a great presentation.
It was really great. Not taking anything away from it, but there is something about going out there and experiencing that, and just... You know, I don't know. That's a it won't be as big of a deal for me because I don't go to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So I'll still be watching it on TV. But all the people that do make that a family tradition, that sucks.
And it's bigger than just the parade itself. It's I think it's the night before, two nights before, when they're actually inflating the floats. That is a big party itself. And people go just to watch them inflate the floats. It's a whole thing. It's a week-long celebration.
Yeah. So that's where that stands for this year, 2020 for you. Mark it down. Also trending this morning is Dancing with the Stars. Did you watch last night?
No. Once the hockey game was over, I just focused on work. I didn't catch any of it last night.
Yeah, same. Last night was the season premiere of the new season. Tyra Banks made her debut as the new host of the show. AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys, Vernon Davis, Nelly, Monica Aldama, Carol Baskin, Johnny Weir. They were all just a few of the contestants that lit up the ballroom last night. The evening's highest score went to Sky Jackson and Justina Machado as they both scored 21s on night one, 3 sevens. That's pretty good. Lowest score of the night, I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Peril Chastin. Yeah. Carol Baskin. She only scored an 11 last night.
This is Bruno critiquing her dance.
You use those clothes all the time. I thought she was going to dislocate her shoulder, but I'm sorry. You know me. I call it as I see it. For me, you didn't quite kill the Paso Doble. It was kind of sedated.
Oh, yes. Oh.
But you killed your husband.
Yeah. I watch out, Bruno. Don't be watch what you drink, watch what happens to you in backstage, you know.
That's what they all said. The other judges said her shoulders, she needs to work on her shoulders being up or back or something. That was their one critique of her.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about her being on this show. Like, a part of me is really annoyed. Just like, why are we giving this woman the spotlight?
And she is the spotlight. That's the one that everyone seems to be talking about, is Carol Baskin, probably because she'll be eliminated first in the first couple weeks. But yeah, she seems to be the one that the spotlight is on. She's the novelty, I think, of the season.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't turn into one of those things where everyone starts voting for her just as a joke because they think it's funny. And just get her out of there. If you watched, what'd you think of Tyra Banks as host? I didn't watch. I just checked out enough to see what the scores were and stuff, but I didn't see great feedback on social media. Now, it could have just been my feed. Maybe it was different the consensus, but I'm just curious as to how she ended up doing last night.
I think I have, here's the open with Tyra Banks.
Live from Hollywood, it's the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. Please welcome your new host, Tyra Banks.
Oh my God, I cannot believe it. I'm finally here. You guys, my family and I have been fans of this show since day one. And look, Mama,
Tom Bergeron be like, okay.
Yeah. I've been hosting it since day one, honey.
Yeah. Oh, so that's trending. Friends is trending. You know that reunion they were talking about that's coming HBO Max? Well, they may be looking for a new host. Rumor is that Ellen was supposed to host that big reunion. And being that, you know, things are going to be kind of crazy for her in the next few months, that may not happen. And then Driftwell is trending this morning. PepsiCo is releasing a new drink that they say will help you sleep. Driftwell, it's called. It contains the amino L-theanine, as well as magnesium, which both help you sleep. You can't buy it yet. It'll be available online in December and in stores in January. You can buy it in small 7.5-ounce cans, $17.99 for a 10-pack. So how bad do you want to sleep? Just get a glass of wine. Oh, my gosh. Okay, there you go. That's what's trending.
Mix 94.1. Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning, show number
1260.
And now, here's your hosts, Mercedes and JC.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, September 15th, and we are so glad to have you here. Coming off of a loss for our Vegas Golden Knights. We were talking about that in the pre-show. Kind of a bummer, but I'm wondering when they get back. Do you know? Are they already on their way back? Have we seen when we can expect them to arrive? Are we going to have some sort of welcome back festivities? Should we not? And just let them kind of like do their thing?
Come back and kind of unwind on their own? Yeah. Will we greet them at the airport with social distancing? Go make some signs and welcome the guys back to town. It's funny. I was looking for that this morning. I didn't see any stories on when they get to leave the bubble, that they stay a certain amount of time. I'm assuming series is over, season is over, pack
they're
up
gone.
And head home.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling they're like, okay, can we get back to Vegas now? I'd like to see my family. So, yeah, that was kind of a bummer. Other than that, how was your night last night?
It was good. I went over to UNLV. You and I did the TV show yesterday afternoon, Las Vegas Now. And then afterwards, I went over to UNLV to do an interview with the UNLV TV station and also KUNV. They've got a series called University Speaks and kind of looking back on alumni that are tied into the broadcasting at UNLV, and I did this interview last night, and it was cool being back on campus and just walking around the Greenspun Media College and checking out how the radio station is now compared to when I worked there back in 1996. So it was a lot of fun being back on campus.
Oh, that's
it was a good time
cool.
Last night.
Well, that's awesome. It was a good interview.
Yes, it was very nice. I believe you're up at some point. They have you on the docket to be interviewed as well. Yeah, it was a great interview. It's just kind of looking back on my time at UNLV and working at the doing jazz progressions back in the day and how I started doing that. And even though I knew nothing about jazz, but ended up being a jazz DJ for a couple of months at UNLV. So it was fun.
Got to get your foot in the door, whatever way you can, right?
Exactly.
And look at you now.
Exactly. So a question for you, though. I didn't see the game. I just saw a headline, crazy finish to the Broncos game. Did you watch any of that game last night?
I fell asleep, but I heard my husband wrestling, and then I saw he posted something on Facebook this morning. It says, Vic Fangio strikes again. So I don't know what happened. I fell asleep. If anyone wants to let me know, they lost. I know that. But other than that, Titans Steven Gostkowski hits game-winning field goal after missing four kicks during game versus Broncos.
Oh, no pressure on that final kick, buddy.
Oh, man. So there you go. That's what happened. Yeah, I could hear him. I was so tired last night. I tried so hard to stay awake. I could just feel my eyes getting heavy. And he finally taps me on the hand, and he's like, good night. And I was like, good night. I'm going to close my eyes. And then I heard him go, I heard him say, like, bad words. And I kind of felt the bed move a little bit. And I was like, oh, that's not good. I'm not going to open my eyes. I'm just going to stay right here. When he starts saying bad words in bed and with that kind of authority, it's
yes.
not good.
Outside of our Golden Knights losing, you're now Broncos losing. How was the rest of your day yesterday?
Crap, man. No, just kidding.
yeah, right?
With those two things. No, it was a good day yesterday. It was just, it was a long one. It was nice. So we got home. We threw some food on the grill last night and grilled outside. And I just love that smell. Like when we go on walks and we can smell someone else grilling. And I said to my husband, I'm like, I wonder if someone is walking by and smells us grilling tonight. He's like, they probably are. So we did that and just got some work done. And then, of course, I say this every time, but I watched Love Island last night. And now it's so funny because first, Brooklyn, my littlest, she was really into it with me. She and I watch Love Island together. That's our thing. But over the weekend, we went on this massive, like, we had to catch up. We were behind like 5 or 6 episodes. So we just watched back to back to back on the couch. And I didn't realize it, but Sophie was in the kitchen kind of watching at it while she was doing her homework. So last night we're like, well, we're going to go watch Love Island. So we start going upstairs and Sophie's like, wait, don't start without me. I'm like, what? And she was like, yeah, I'm kind of watching it now. And now she's hooked. And my husband just thinks it's the dopiest thing ever. He's like, I can't believe you guys are watching this, but it's so good. It's so scandalous.
It is mindless television, but it does have Vegas connections. There's a selling point.
Yes, and that's the key. I told my husband that last night. Like, if you're having a bad day and you just need to decompress, I seriously forget all my problems when I watch it. It's just, like, it is mindless television, and I love it.
And it's on every night, is it not? On CBS?
Yeah, Saturdays is like a best of show.
Oh, okay.
We don't waste our time
no,
on that.
Why do that? All right, coming up here in the dirt, Chris Evans. He breaks his silence over that photo of his, you know what, leaked over the weekend. So he breaks his silence. What did he say? And is Britney done performing? Details in 7 minutes. That's the weekend. Blinding Lights on Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning.
We never gossip.
Or would we?
Let's go.
Time for the Daily Dirt on Mix 94.1.
Chris Evans, he used his accidental handle pick. He accidentally sent a picture of his privates for a good cause. He tweeted, quote, "Now that I have your attention, vote November 3rd.
Got my attention. I'm going to vote. I was going to vote before, but now I'm really going to vote.
Yeah, that was the nail in the coffin.
Yep.
I wasn't sure. I'm going to vote now, and then I saw that thing.
I'm done. I'm there.
Britney Spears filed court documents to fight off her father's wishes for her conservatorship. So Britney Spears, she is furious with her dad for trying to rehire a man that she claims is unsuited to manage her estate and who made a fortune off of her for years. Andrew Wallet served as a co-conservator of Britney's estate from 2008 to 2019, and according to Britney, was paid millions of dollars for his service. Now, also in those documents, Britney says she's done performing, at least for now, and she needs to keep her expenses in check and make difficult budgetary choices going forward.
Yeah, that's a touchy situation there. Like, if he's running the show, yeah, I mean, that's like a job, so you should get paid, but millions and millions.
Yeah, how much do you get paid, right?
Yeah.
Now, Britney's dad has fired back, saying the documents are full of false claims. So we'll see how this thing all plays out. Taylor Swift, she sent a hand-embroidered blanket to Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom for their new daughter, Daisy. Katy, she loved it. She posted some pictures and said, quote, "Miss Daisy adores her hand-embroidered blankie from Miss Taylor Swift. Hope it's one she drags around for years till it becomes an unrecognizable shred that she keeps in her pocket as a teenager."
And isn't that the truth? Don't we do that with our blankies or our whoobies or whatever you call your little blankie? Just your parents continually cut it and cut it until you don't realize that it's just a square. Like, wait, what happened to my whoobie?
Hey!
Not talking from experience or anything, but, you know.
And then speaking of Taylor Swift, Lindsay Lohan has left Taylor Swift fans kind of baffled. Over the weekend, Lohan shared a cryptic tweet where she simply tagged Taylor with no message. Fans are saying, collaboration? What's going on here?
That's weird.
And then she deleted the tweet. So I wonder if her fans would react to the same way if we just sent out at Taylor Swift.
You know, she was probably just trying to look her up on Twitter. And I've done that before where I look someone up and I didn't realize I actually tweeted them. I'm like, oops, delete.
I'm pulling up Taylor Swift here. I'll send it out. Why isn't she popping? What's it like, Swiftie 13? What's her?
I think it's just Taylor Swift. I don't know.
Yeah, it shows how much I don't follow her, I guess. No way. Anyway, yeah, it's since been deleted. So, Kate Hudson and her brother Oliver have a podcast called Sibling Rivalry. And on their latest episode, Kendall Jenner came out as a stoner. Kendall and her sister Courtney were on the show, and they were asked, who is the biggest stoner in the family? Here's the audio.
If there was a stoner, who would it be?
Kendall.
I am a stoner.
Really?
Yeah, no one knows that. So that's the first time I've ever really said anything out there.
Yeah.
Well, the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah. I mean, she always looked very relaxed, so I can see that.
She's very chill. There's going to be a virtual table read of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. This was supposed to happen a couple weeks back, but it got postponed because of technical difficulties. It's happening Thursday night for charity, and some people, including me, are very excited that we'll have Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt reuniting. Writer Cameron Crowe is involved. Sean Penn. It actually benefits Sean Penn's core nonprofit. Morgan Freeman, Jimmy Kimmel, John Legend. I mean, Matthew McConaughey, Julia Roberts. Here's the thing, though. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston are not going to be in the same room sitting next to each other. A lot of this is going to be done virtual.
Well, yeah, just like our whole lives right now, pretty much.
They're not going to be sitting around one big table together.
No.
It is a table read for a great cause happening Thursday night, but they'll be kind of somewhat connected for the first time.
Oh, definitely.
Time.
They'll have some interaction there for sure.
All right, coming up here in the next dirt, Dancing with the Stars, it premiered last night. Carole Baskin made her debut, but a lot of people are talking about the Carole Baskin commercial that aired. We'll play the audio for you, and it's coming up at 7:15.
That's Katy Perry, who was trolling us this whole time that she was pregnant with her daughter, Daisy, singing about her, and we didn't even know it. It was right under our noses. Mix 94.1, it is 6:28, Mercedes in the morning. And I just, I took a trip down memory lane last night. You're not going to believe the photo I got. I want to send it to you, but I'm afraid to because I don't want you to ever use it as blackmail material against
me. Oh, no. What is the photo of?
I want to show it to you, but then on my device so you don't have it. It's a picture. It's where a story began for me. Do you have a picture of where the story began? Maybe it was like the first time you met your future husband or your future wife, and you didn't realize when you took that picture with them that like that was the beginning of the story. I got a beginning of the story picture that I found last night, and it was the beginning of my infatuation for Alanis Morissette.
And this is going to be going back to the 90s, mid-90s, yeah. I guess.
It was a young girl who loved Alanis Morissette. I was a fan. And through my friend Ross, who worked at a radio station, he got me into a meet and greet with her. And I met the one and only Alanis. And she's a young girl, and I'm a young girl. And it's just so, I saw the photo. Ah, do you promise to delete it if I send it to you?
Absolutely.
Do you promise not to use it against me?
Well, let's see. Behave today. No, I'm kidding. Of course I'll delete it.
Okay, I'm gonna airdrop it to you right now. Turn on your phone. It's coming your way. Oh, I'm only picking up your MacBook right now, so I might have to send it to your MacBook.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, there's your phone. Here it goes.
Okay, it's a group. Is this like the cast of The Real World, San Francisco? I'm just looking at because it's like a black and white photo.
It was meant to be artsy. It's it was so old ago. It's more of the brown and white photo.
Is that Ross in the cargo shorts there?
Yes.
Listen, Ross, I know Ross. He's actually a fraternity brother of mine. For the time, your style's on point.
Well, he looks like the boys look now. Like, that whole style is how the boys look now.
You look very
Same
cute.
Haircut and everything.
You look adorable.
Oh, my gosh.
Hanging down. You're doing the squat down next to Lance, not
know.
To stand over her.
I wanted to squat next to her because I did not want her to feel intimidated by my height or my size.
We have to post this because Kevin Nealon is behind you. I didn't know you were friends with Kevin Nealon.
That was a music director for a radio station.
And then the far right, who's it? Gabriel Gutierrez? Who's the girl from 902?
That was his like one-time girlfriend who only liked him for the meet and greet and dumped him shortly
thereafter.
Oh, yeah,
been there. I know that feeling.
Yeah, so that was where the story began. Do you have one of those? A picture of where the story began. 702-364-9400. It's just amazing to see that. Like, wow. That's when I was like infatuated with her. And
you're
I was standing
of her. Was
right
that,
next to her.
Was that Red Rocks? You're in front of some rocks?
That was Red
Rocks.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. That's where I went saw her in concert.
Now, you know what's so funny? So interesting here is this week is the 25th anniversary of Alanis' first ever appearance here in Las Vegas. It was 1995. She performed at the Palladium, which was like a nightclub concert hall behind the Mirage back in 1995.
Isn't that crazy? I saw her for the first time. It was a place called the Paramount Cafe. She was literally performing in a cafe. And my friend Ross is like, hey, there's this chick and she's really good. Do you want to go see her at the Paramount Cafe? And I'm not even 21 years old yet. So I'm like, cafe? Yeah, count me in. I'll go. So we went and we watched her perform. It was so awesome. And then I just I got obsessed, and we went to that show, and he's like, there's a meet and greet. I got you in, and I was freaking out. And that is a look of pure joy on my face that I was standing next to the queen at the time.
Now, maybe you don't have a photo of that moment, but what was that moment for you when you got hooked on something? Can you look back on maybe it's a band you love or a certain celebrity or movie franchise or book series? What was that moment that got you hooked? For me, U2 is my favorite band. I love U2. And I didn't have MTV growing up. My grandmother had it. And we finally got MTV in our house, I think, either 1990 or 1991 is when we got cable television in our house. And I remember sitting there watching MTV, and I heard U2's One on the radio a couple times, but I remember seeing the video for the first time. And it was Bono. He's in this bar in Dublin, and he's singing, he's drinking, he's smoking like a clove cigarette, he's got his leather jacket on, his long black hair, and he looked just so cool. And I'm like, dude, this Bono guy is awesome. And that's when I started to fall in love with U2. And then I went back and discovered the Joshua Tree and Rattle and Hum and their other works. But it was this music video that got me hooked on U2.
That is the moment where it all began. I mean, think about that. What if something had happened that day and that didn't happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or if my parents didn't get cable television. Because out of the blue, they're like, yeah, we're going to get cable. I'm like, all right, we haven't had it our entire lives. It's cool that we're getting it now. I'm just sitting there watching this video over and over and over all the time.
That is so cool. Do you have a moment like that where it's just like, wow, that was seriously the beginning? Getting some text here on the Findlay Volkswagen and Henderson text line at 702-364-9400. This one says, the first time I saw the Britney Crazy video, I knew I was going to be a fan for life. She didn't get me at Hit Me One More Time. It was Crazy that put it over the top for me. That video, was that the green shiny shirt? I think it was the green.
We're talking this year?
Yeah.
Oh, was she wearing white pants or?
No, that was Sometimes I Run. That was on the pier. No, Crazy, I think, was the, she was dressed as the waitress. Melissa Joan Hart was in it. And yeah, she was wearing the green. Yes. That was a turning point video, too. And then also, Oops, I Did It Again with the red latex jumpsuit. That was a big one.
Yeah. It's so funny to pinpoint these moments. But, man, this picture. True story. This is a true story about 2, 4, 6.
I'm going to crop it and put out some of the people who do not want to be a part of this photo. But I'll put it out there.
Who is far left?
That is Halisa. She worked with me. She was a very nice girl. I'm still Facebook friends with her.
The blonde?
That is Amber. She has since passed away.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, two people in this photo have passed away,
no!
Believe it or not.
Who's, yes. The one to your right?
That was my best friend Stacy, and she passed away.
Oh my gosh,
she was my best friend.
Coming.
I know. See, that's why I was like,
tell me about her picture.
Not trying to ruin the one. I'll have you know the Kevin Nealon lookalike is alive and kicking, though.
And here's the thing, though. So you got into this meet and greet, Ross got you in, and then you had a plus one, and you went with Stacy?
I brought my best friend Stacy, yeah. So we had a really good time, and yeah, that was so cool.
That is an awesome photo.
I'll post it. It's embarrassing. Don't make fun of me too much. But
First off, I would kick you out because you don't have your lanyard on. How do we know you're allowed to be backstage? Just take it off for the photo.
I had to get escorted by Ross.
Ross.
Follow me. This is where. Don't talk to her. So I immediately walk right up to her, stand next to her, and screw this.
All right, the hot three is coming up next. What do we have?
All right, we are going to talk about this whole telecommuting thing. Americans, are we working longer and harder now that we're working from home? Also, 60% of people say they will never date someone who is bad at this. And Taco Bell has released a custom item. It sounds amazing. I'm going to buy it. Are you? We'll tell you what it is coming up next in the Hot 3.
Sugar. Harry Styles, Watermelon Sugar on Mix 94.1.
It's time for the Mercedes Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
All right. So think about this. Working from home was supposed to be easier, right, than a daily commute to the office, but a new survey of remote working Americans says different. 65% of remote workers report working longer remote hours these days than they ever did while sitting in a workplace. 56% are feeling more stressed than ever before due to all the demands that come with remote work. And 62% say that their employer is putting is they're pressuring them more to work harder and to do more. On average, Americans are putting in extra time at home on three occasions each week, amounting to six additional hours of work every single week.
For me, I just felt like there was no cutoff. When we did the radio show from home, the show would end, and I would just kind of continue working. There was no break. There was no drive home from the radio station to kind of decompress for 15, 20 minutes or run a couple errands to kind of split up the day. It was just one continuous cycle.
Yeah, and then put on top of that, if you have kids at home that are now doing homeschooling, and so you're going from one job to teaching job, yeah. Helping them out. And so, yeah, ugh. That's got to be tough. I enjoyed working at home, but I agree with you. I had a difficult time saying, okay, work ends now, life begins now. It just all kind of, it all blended together.
It did. It just one big blend. There was no separation. That was just the one downside. I just love having that separation, whether it be a ride home or something. Just, I needs to break it up a little bit.
We were talking about my family. We always try to, over dinner, ask like a question. The question of the day, and everyone goes around and does their answer. And the other night, the question of the day was, what was your favorite part of this pandemic, like stuff that happened, and what is your worst part been? And my husband went and he said, I think my favorite part was when you were working from home. And I was shocked because I was sure that was going to be his worst part because I thought I was getting on his nerves so bad. Every morning I'm up, I'm like yelling downstairs, ah! And he can hear me. And I was completely shocked. He's like, it was nice just being able to peek in the morning and say, hey, good morning and whatever. Was your wife like that?
Yeah, we became closer, I think, during the pandemic because normally she travels, or if she's here, I'm here working at the radio station. She was grounded, no travel for her, and then I was home 24/7. And at first, I'm like, man, we haven't been this close together as far as together nonstop in a long time. And it was great. We had, I mean, maybe a couple disagreements, but she as well too enjoyed. She would get up at right around 5:30. So the opening break for me was, and my little studio was upstairs. So the opening break, I was always kind of whispering just a little bit. Yeah. But then once I knew she was up, I could talk in my loud voice. And she enjoyed that, popping in and seeing me. And I know the dogs enjoyed it as well, having dad home a little bit longer.
Just when you think that you're fully getting on their nerves, they surprise you. Right? And you think, wow, you actually like me. This is amazing. I love it. Also this morning, so what would be a big deal breaker for you when it comes to dating? Well, nearly 60% of people say they would not date a bad driver. This new survey found that bad driving can also split up a couple. The survey showed that nearly a fifth of respondents said that they have actually ended a relationship due to their partner's questionable driving habits. They found that 78% of respondents maintain that how a person drives says a lot about their personality. After all, if your partner's taking dangerous risks on the road, it may signal that they would act similarly in other areas of life. And if your significant other is careless enough to put your life at risk in a car, it puts their virtue in question. So some of the red flags, the top driving red flags, are excessive speeding, cutting off others in traffic, leaving inadequate following distance on the highway, yelling at other drivers, and excessive horn honking.
Well, some of that stuff sounds like a straight up jerk. If you're tailing someone or honking your horn excessively, that would be a turnoff. My wife, there's a couple things that I do that she doesn't like, and it's nothing on that list, but she's not a fan of the way I brake. She says I'm not smooth when I'm braking. I'm herky-jerky. Stop, 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 stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she complains, too, that I don't take off fast enough when the light turns green. It's green. I'm like, it's been green for a second. Give me a chance to put my foot on the gas and go.
I know. Isn't that funny? It's like when you are so sensitive to how the other person drives. But when you're doing it, you don't realize it.
Yes.
My husband gets mad when I sit in the passenger seat and I don't say a word. But if he starts driving herky jerky, my hand automatically like grabs onto the door handle. And he's like, you can relax. I'm like, no, I cannot relax. Finally, this morning, it's already been a huge week for bad wine. At first, Franzia debuted a new backpack that can hold an entire box of wine. And now Taco Bell is getting in the game. Taco Bell Canada just debuted the brand's first custom wine called Jalapeno Noir.
Mm.
I'll have the Jalapeno Noir, please. They say it has notes of wild strawberry, cherry, and beetroot. And it pairs well with their new toasted cheesy chalupa, which won't hit menus in the United States until November. They've been selling bottles on the Taco Bell Canada website for $25 or about $19 American, but it doesn't sound like they're planning to sell them in the U.S. anytime soon. So if you want a bottle, get ready to drop lots of dollars on eBay or take a trip up north. Are we allowed to go up north now? Are they accepting Americans?
Canada?
Not? Yeah.
I don't know. To call some of the Golden Knights before they come home.
Yeah, could you guys bring us back some jalapeno noir, please?
Hey, Nate Schmidt, so sorry about the loss and the season's over. Bring us some wine, though, buddy.
I'd be willing to try this one. Anything with Pinot Noir, whether it's jalapeno noir or Pinot Noir, I'll try it. Why not?
We're game. Dancing with the Stars, it premiered last night, and Carole Baskin made her debut. But a lot of people are talking about the Carole Baskin commercial that aired. I'll play the audio for you coming up at 7:15 in the dirt. Now here's Billie Eilish. It's Mix 94.1.
Dan and Shay on Mix 94.1. That song right there with Justin Bieber is nominated for Song of the Year at the ACMs happening tomorrow night. They actually have four nominations for Dan and Shay. It is 7 o'clock, Mercedes in the morning, and I have to say I just saw a beautiful post on Instagram from your wife. And wishing you a happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you guys.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. Yes, 2007, 13 years ago, my wife and I got married. Today's our anniversary. But it's funny because last night, I upset my wife. And I use the term upset loosely. But I upset my wife by bringing up something that we swore to never talk about again.
What?
Have you ever accidentally sent a wrong text message to someone? And if so, how bad was it?
Oh, gosh. I do that all the time. Usually not bad, but is there a cringy one? I feel like there's a cringy one.
Do you have a cringy one? Share your story if you do at 702-364-9400, because I'm the same way. It happens. The majority of the time, it's not bad. But this goes back to a few years ago, and actually, this current day, my wife's aunt and uncle are thinking about coming out for Thanksgiving, and we're talking about it last night. Look, that'd be great if they came out. It's been like 3 years since they came out for Thanksgiving. And then I brought up what happened last time they were here for Thanksgiving. And they were coming out the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and they were leaving the Sunday after. That's a week plus. And we were very, very excited about having them out here and had stuff planned. But it was the morning of their arrival that it really hit my wife how long her aunt and uncle would be staying with us in our house. And she had kind of a panic attack. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to entertain them? That's a long time. And she wanted to vent. So she went to send a message to her mom. Just kind of explaining what I just said, that they're here for a week plus. What are we going to do? Are we going to get each other's nerves? Just kind of venting to her mom. She sends it. Some time goes by, and she's like, my mom hasn't responded. That's when she realizes she sent that text message to her aunt.
Oh, no.
Who was, at the time, on the plane flying to Las Vegas. So when her aunt and uncle landed in Las Vegas, they turned their phone on. Like, oh, Laura sent a text message. They must be on their way to the airport to get us. Reading it. Oh, no.
And there's nothing. Don't you wish there was a way that you could go and retrieve that text before they landed? So there's just no way. It's like they have that feature for email where you can rescind it if you just don't want them to get it. It gives you a little window of a minute to say, okay. Oh, wait. No, that's not what I want to send. They need to do that with text messaging.
They really do. Who has ever sent a cringeworthy text message, the wrong text message? Send it out, send it to the wrong person. What was it? How bad was it? How did you recover? And then for whatever reason, my wife couldn't go to the airport that morning. Well, I know the reason why, but she couldn't go to the airport to pick him up. And so I was at the airport picking up her aunt and uncle. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be awkward. This is going to be awkward. And everything was fine. She actually sent a follow-up text, and her aunt totally understood. Like, listen, yeah, we're going to be here for a long time. Like, don't worry. We won't be in your hair. We have stuff planned ourselves. And it was a great trip, but just that moment of realizing she sent it to her aunt.
I don't know if anyone can beat that one. Do you have something worse than that? That to me, that on a cringe scale of minimal cringiness to complete cringiness, I think that's about an 8. It's got to be pretty bad if you can beat that. 702-364-9400. That's the Findlay Volkswagen and Henderson text line. Have you ever sent a text to someone and you realized, oh, no. Yeah, that's bad news right there. I'm just trying to think. Like, I've sent wrong texts before, but nothing on that level. The one I can remember, it's a former coworker of ours. We were all on a group text, and I was trying to text you something about that coworker.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And it went to the group text and I was like, and I was able to play it off like it had nothing to do. And the person never had any idea. But I remember the second I sent it, I saw, oh my God, that's on the group text. Oh my God. And then I go, I went and by that person, like, I just accidentally sent a text to the group text. It was supposed to be about something else. And they didn't even care.
No, it was fine.
It was just, oh, my heart sank into my stomach.
Because I remember getting a text and reading it and like agreeing with what you were saying, then realizing, wait, this is not a personal text to me. This is on a group text we have going on. And then quickly, you know, things were worked out and stuff. But I totally remember that morning.
Oh, my gosh. We just got a text here. Correct text, I'm assuming. It says, my assistant sent our CEO sext messages and nudes that she meant to send to her husband. Okay, you beat JC.
Yeah.
That is the worst.
That's the front runner right now.
How do you even come back from that? How do you even say, those weren't meant for you? Or do you say, those were meant for you?
Yeah, like, I think you sent the wrong person. No, I didn't.
Oh, wow. That is bad. Have you ever received an email or something, though, that you know? Like, sometimes people will forward emails, but they don't realize the previous three conversations forwarded. And then you go back and read those, and you're like, rude! Like, oh my gosh! And they didn't realize it either until you say something, and then it's very awkward.
Yes, yeah. If you're going to forward something, make sure what you're forwarding in there, there's nothing bad about the person you're forwarding it to.
There was an email I got forwarded on about, like, some commercial I had to do, and they didn't realize they forwarded me the whole conversation between them, and they're like, have you heard back from her? No, nothing. When is she going to get back to us? And I'm like, sorry, I don't check my email every 5 minutes. And then they forwarded me that conversation on accident.
Oh.
I referenced it. I was like, I saw the previous conversation. I don't check my email every hour. I'm sorry. Silence.
Burn. All right, Dancing with the Stars. It premiered last night, and Carole Baskin, she made her debut. But a lot of people are talking about the Carole Baskin commercial that aired. I've got the audio. I'll play it for you guys coming up just about 7 minutes from now.
We create lots of fun stuff and put it on Facebook for you to enjoy. Cole, you know it'd be easier to see all of this if you follow us on Facebook at Mix941. And while you're there, go ahead and like every picture we ever posted. We won't find that weird at all. No, we really won't. Nope. Perfect. Vegas's best variety, Mix94.1.
It's a very pregnant Gabby Barrett with Charlie Puth. The song is called I Hope. It's Mix 94.1, Mercedes in the Morning.
We never gossip.
Or would we?
Let's go.
Time for the Daily Dirt on Mix 94.1.
The Batman had halted production at the beginning of the month because Robert Pattinson tested positive for COVID-19. There was no official announcement that it was him. We just knew that it was one of the cast members, but everyone kind of assumed it was Robert Pattinson. Well, online sites say that Pattinson is doing fine now, and filming has resumed on the movies, and Pattinson will be suiting up again over the next few days to continue his role as Batman.
Well, that's good. Just sometimes it just takes a little quarantine, a little rest, and you're good to go.
And, you know, Batman does have the worst mask ever when it comes to protecting yourself in this current pandemic, because it covers everything but his mouth and nose.
This is true. I do most superhero masks, though, do the same thing. I mean, I don't really, unless you're Bane, and he's a villain.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
His whole face is covered.
Yeah, you're right. That's the only one I can think of.
Iron Man, when he has it on.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going.
Let's see here. Aquaman, fully exposed.
Fully exposed, Aquaman, and we like that.
Wonder Woman, fully exposed.
Yeah. But they're superheroes, so they shouldn't have an issue, right?
Yeah. Superman would have an issue with COVID-19.
No. But when you go back to Batman, he's a regular guy. Just with fancy equipment.
Yeah.
He's really not a superhero.
Ant-Man? He'd be in trouble.
Well, he could actually make himself small and find a coronavirus molecule and, like, fight it.
True.
Punch it in the face.
Or maybe get in there and study it.
Yeah.
Get real small. Like, okay, this is what we need to take to get rid of this thing.
We got this all figured out.
Lady Gaga may soon be a superhero herself. The website We Got This Covered reports that Gaga is in the running to play Emma Frost a.k.a. the White Queen, in the next X-Men movie. They say Marvel wants Gaga to take on the role when they take over the series from 20th Century Fox. The character has telepathic abilities and was played by January Jones in the 2011 X-Men First Class movie.
I think she would do a great job. She is really a good actress.
She is.
She's like the real deal package, man.
WAP is back at number one, featuring Megan Thee Stallion and, of course, Cardi B. It's back at number one. BTS and their song Dynamite was number one for 2 weeks in a row, but WAP is back up there. But this is cool. The Weeknd's Blinding Lights is sitting at number five, which ties for the most weeks spent in the top five. 27 weeks that song has been in the top five. He ties Ed Sheeran, Shape of You, and the Chainsmokers Closer. So one more week in the top five, and he owns the record.
Well, I hope he gets it.
Yeah.
I love that song. I still love it after all this time. It's a good one.
You need to call your local radio station, Mercedes, and request it so it gets more airplay and remains in the top five.
All right. I will do that. My favorite local radio station. I will make sure I request Blinding Lights. You know, you just got to make sure it stays up there. Make sure that they play it.
Phones are ringing. Mix, good morning.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to request Blinding Lights by the Weeknd.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your name?
This is Mercedes.
You got it, Mercedes. Thanks for listening.
There's such a weird...
I can't. I like talk and then I hear my voice.
It's nuts.
It's so weird.
Tiger King star Carol Baskin made her debut last night on Dancing with the Stars, and she seemed to be enjoying herself. One thing she probably did not enjoy is that the family of her presumably dead husband, Don Lewis, they ran an ad during the show offering a $100,000 reward for information on his disappearance back in 1997. The commercial starred Don's three daughters, a former employee, an attorney, who went straight for the jugular. Here's some of the edited audio, but take a listen to the commercial that ran last night during Dancing with the Stars.
I'm Gail, one of Don Lewis's daughters. We are a real family, and to us, he was daddy.
Don Lewis mysteriously disappeared in 1997. His family deserves answers. They deserve justice. Do you know who did this or if Carol Baskin was involved?
A $100,000 reward has been funded. You can call the tip line.
You know, I know it's like all funny, oh, Carol Baskin, whatever, but that's really... I don't know for sure, but all signs point to her having some involvement in that, and to reward her with a spot on Dancing with the Stars is kind of ridiculous.
Who would be like if OJ was on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
You know? And people still get, you know, excited to see OJ and Simpson and everything, but he certainly has a checkered past, to say the least.
It's just, I don't know. It's kind of disheartening, but there's 2020 in a nutshell for you.
But so I watched the first few episodes of Tiger King. I didn't finish the whole series. It's pretty much a given that she had something to do with her husband's death.
Well, it's just funny how she would talk about it. And she's talking about, in a totally unrelated interview, like, you know, if you really want someone to disappear and the tigers to eat them, you just gotta cover them in sardine oil and da-da-da. And it's like, huh? What? How do you know this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's very odd. People get rewarded for really bad behavior.
They really do.
It's crazy.
What are we doing being nice people, Mercedes?
I'm going to stop.
Change these ways. Forget everyone. It's 21 Pilots, Stressed Out. Mix 94.1.
She is the most nominated female artist at this year's Country Music Awards happening. ACM's happening tomorrow night. That's Maren Morris with The Bones on Mix 94.1. It is 7:30, Mercedes in the morning, and a way that you can instantly upgrade your home with no money spent. No money spent. Think about the money you would spend on renovations to upgrade your house, to make your house worth more. But you're saying there's one simple thing we can do to upgrade our homes without spending any money.
What would it be?
I thought you had the answer to this.
What?
I thought you had the answer to this.
Oh, this thing? I'm like, where's she going with this?
You were just telling me about this.
I'm like, you had me. So you talk about the art of a tease. I'm like, so what is she talking about?
No, this is something you were telling me that I can upgrade my home without spending any money. I'm so confused now. Like, wait, did we not just have this conversation?
So there's this article in the Wall Street Journal. It is so funny because does your home have a name? Give your home a name and it makes it a much fancier home, according to this Wall Street Journal article. And it's so true, because anytime we go to do like an Airbnb, we're looking, my wife and I looked at doing an Airbnb around Christmas time out of Joshua Tree. We love it out there. And all of the names of these homes, all the homes have names. The Shelter, the Cactus Palace, JT's Place, as in Joshua Tree's Place. Does your home have a name?
We don't have a name. I read this article when you mentioned it, and they say it will actually make your house worth more money. So we need to all name our homes now. It, without spending any money, think about that. We don't have a name for our house. I always thought that homes with names had to be like mansions, and that's not our home. Like Shenandoah, where Wayne Newton used to live, stuff like that. But my dad... when all of his kids had homes, he kind of had names for them, but not like formal names. Like he called my house, just based on kind of how it looked from the outside, like the French Chateau, because there's a pointed roof. And he called my sister's house the Tuscan Palace. She doesn't live in a palace, but it looks like a Tuscan style
home. I like this.
My brother lived in Texas. He called his house the Ranch.
Yes.
He wasn't on a ranch. He lived in a regular neighborhood of track homes, but that's what he called it. And then Mario, he had an apartment, so he just called it the apartment. But that was it. We hear about naming your cars. Does anyone actually name their homes, whether it's a fancy kind of name, or do you just name it like Bob? We're going home to Bob, or whatever. Do you have a name for your home? And if so, what is it? 702-364-9400.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be cars, boats, and big ranches. Why can't every house have a name? And my house does not have a name. I would like to have a cool, I don't want like a Bob or Tom, or is my house a female? Sarah, Jessica, I want like a cool name for my house.
Just seeing your house. Your house is a male.
It's a male. Okay.
Yeah, my house is a female. What's a cool name? It's like someone just texted us. It says like Villa Rosa for Lisa Vanderpump's mansion. Granted, it's a mansion and it's beautiful anyway, but it does make it sound more classy. So why don't we call it like a manly name? You guys are into like the outdoors. You're into.
I want something that's kind of ranchy too, like horses and stuff.
Ranchy horse name. What could
double cross, double shoes, horseshoe home, horseshoe palace, horseshoe lane.
It.
Go ahead.
This is perfect. You're gonna love it. Coyote Crossing.
Ooh, Coyote Crossing.
Because you have coyotes up where you
live,
up right?
In Summerlin. Yeah, there's coyotes all over the place.
Coyote Crossing.
Mountain lions up there a couple weeks ago.
give us the part of town you live in. In the style of your house, and we'll give you a house name, and you can start referring to your house upping the value of your home. And it doesn't have to be a house; it could be an apartment too. It could be a car. Just give us the details on it, and we'll come up with a fabulous name for your new estate. And that way, you just instantly added value to it. 702-364-9400.
Yeah, so I live at Coyote Crossing. I love my home over at the crossing. Yours? How about the Heavenly House?
The Heavenly House, no.
It sounds very like nice, and you have a beautiful home, and it's like, oh, the Heavenly House.
No, I want like a cool.
You want more edge to it?
Like, no, I want it like a going on my dad's chateau theme.
Okay, okay.
I want it to sound French. Chateau de.
What is the kind of
or like the Villa Rosa thing, Villa Blanco?
Do you have any flowers or anything? A certain brand of flowers, like lavender flowers,
yeah.
Or
you know these watering
farms?
Restrictions? They just got me not planting flowers. I can only water 3 times a week, so it's like forget it.
How many palm trees? Do you have any palm trees?
No palm trees. I have zero palm trees.
You have zero palms. All right, any evergreens or? You have any trees on your property?
I do have trees. One's dying. I need to hire an arborist to
okay.
help me with
it. How many trees do you have?
Two.
Two tree. Two tree palace. Two tree lane. Two trees.
Wait, what? How do you say tree in French?
Oh, go for it.
Let me find it. Arbre. Okay. Chateau Arbre.
Oh, my gosh.
Chateau Arbre.
Where are you staying this weekend? Chateau Arbre.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah.
You can afford to stay there? I know. It's pricey, but I love it.
That's my house name. Chateau Arbre. We have Coyote Crossing. Bart, hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mercedes JC. How are you guys?
Doing great. Do you have a name for your house?
We do. Our house is called Maple Cove.
Ooh.
Oh, that is such a good name. I want to steal Maple Cove from you. That is so good.
Why Maple Cove? What's the backstory?
Well, we're all about food, and when we built the house, every paint, every quartz, everything is named after food. So it's Maple Cove. There we go.
That is absolutely beautiful. I love it.
How do you say yours again, Mercedes?
Chateau Arbre.
I'm gonna get you a sign that you hang over your front door.
Nudia, describe your home. We'll give you a name for it.
Okay, it's small.
Okay.
It's furnished from furniture from the 70s.
Okay.
It's a studio. It's like 650 square feet.
I got mine. I got a name for it already.
Okay. I kind of have one. I got to work out the kinks. Go for it.
I'm going to go with the Groovy Grove.
Oh, I like that one. Mm. I like it.
I was going to go with, based on like the grooviness of it and the disco, and you said it's a studio. Instead of Studio 54, how about Studio 2020?
Ooh. This is good.
I like that one.
Oh, man. We should open a business doing this. This is fun.
You ever see like a ranch? They've had, always like there's big entryways at the front of the ranch, front of the driveway. It's like two posts and the ranch name is on top of
the
post. I'm going to put that at the end of my driveway.
The Airbnb cabin we stayed at, they had a big M. Their last name is starts with an M. Uh-huh. And they had it right when you walk in. There's a giant M on the front porch. We're like, well, this is the M cabin.
All right, Hot 3 is coming up next. What do we got?
Okay, we are going to talk about the Golden Knights. Their season came to an end last night. So sad. More on that. Also, are you putting on fresh underwear every morning? The surprising amount of people who aren't. It's very scary. And how you can have your own at-home Oktoberfest. There's a kit for that. We're going to tell you all about it coming up next in the Hot 3. I'm fighting with someone online right now.
Oh, yeah. Who are you fighting with? Is it on the text line?
Yeah. I'm not fighting. We're having a very animated discussion over the Golden Knights game. So I was telling you, we were talking about Leonard last night and how some people are blaming him. And I said, hey, it's not his fault. There's more than one person on the team. And someone wrote, great job. He's why we lost. One person stops the goal. He's the last defense. And then I wrote back, what about the guys in front of him? And he wrote, Fleury would have stopped half those goals. What about them? They get beat all the time. Leonard's not going to stay. You watch. Would you stay after you see how they treat their goalies? His pops died, so he had a tough time. I don't deny that, sir. I do.
He's going at it.
But he's not happy with the fact that we said Leonard did a good job in the series.
I'm looking at the text line. I'm still hung up that someone said they had to bleach to wash their thong.
That
by
came
hand.
Up in the middle of that, and I was like, wait, where does this have to do?
I only had bleach to wash my thong with. I guess I didn't rinse it out that well as a skater. Let's just say that show was not my best performance.
Oh, man. There's just so much going on. It's Mercedes in the morning. It's 8:02. So we've got that I'm dealing with. And then I just posted a video. It's a reaction video. So if you follow us on Instagram, or actually, I posted it on Twitter at Mercedes in the AM and on our Facebook page. Have you ever had a social media brush with greatness? I was hashtag shook yesterday because I got a notification on my phone that someone had duetted one of my videos on TikTok. And I was like, oh, it's cool. It's always cool when someone duets one of your videos. And if you're not on TikTok and you don't know what that means basically they took your video and then they create a duet with it. So then it's either like a reaction to what you're doing or they mimic what you're doing or they agree with what you're doing or whatever. So remember when we were talking about my one TikTok that went viral recently? It was this one right here talking about things you have to stop doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did it last week. Yeah.
So that one, that kind of blew up. And it's because a lot of people that live here can relate to being told that. So I got a notification that someone duetted it, and I go and I look, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just had a social media brush with greatness. Do you know who duetted that video?
Shawn Mendes.
Yes!
Did he really?
Shawn Mendes! Yes, you are correct! How did you know?
Shawn Mendes, the last song we played, so I saw Shawn Mendes. Was it... This person duetted it, and you're very excited about it. Oh, Wayne Newton. He's a big TikToker, right?
Wayne Newton. I don't think he's on TikTok.
Who did it?
It was Holly Madison.
Holly Madison?
Holly
really?
Madison duetted
That's
it.
That's awesome.
I get this notification, and I look. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so when she duetted it, she basically, like, lip syncs me on part of it, and then she's just nodding her head in agreement. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's my social media brush. With greatness. Has anyone ever had a social media brush with greatness where someone famous either responded to you, retweeted you, maybe they liked your post, maybe they commented on it, and you were like, oh my gosh, 702-364-9400. It's the Finley Volkswagen in Henderson text line. Who was it and what happened? I don't know. I was all excited.
That's really
I like
cool.
Her.
Yeah.
She's so nice.
That's awesome. You know, for me, it was last year WWE was in town and they were having a press conference. And I went to cover the press conference and they had a big announcement that Tyson Fury, the boxer, was going to be taking on Braun Strowman, the wrestler, in a wrestling match in an upcoming pay-per-view like a month later. And this was the first big press conference. The two were there together. And I was there like in the front row. And they almost locked up. You know, they almost got into a fight. This little pushing match back and forth. So I 15-second video. I just filmed it, and I just posted it on Twitter saying, oh, here's Tyson and Braun about to lock up here at the press conference, and tagged everyone. And that thing, when I left Thomas and Mac, it had like 100, 200 views. By the time I got home, it had like 20,000 views.
Oh, my gosh.
The thing went viral. It was all said and done. It had 91,000 views.
Where was this?
It was a press conference at T-Mobile Arena last year.
But, like, where did you post this? I never saw this.
On Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
91,000. It was just retweeted because I was the first one to put it out before the WWE even put out clips from their press conference. I was right there, so just videoed it, put it out. And it just took off and just went crazy. And by, like, night's end, when the night was almost over, it had like 70, 80,000 views. And I think up to now, it's like 91,000.
Wow. That is so cool.
It's
Did
crazy.
You have any of like the wrestlers commenting or anything on it?
There was a ton of comments too. I used to read them when it first went viral, but I haven't checked on it in a while. I have to look to see if any of the wrestlers commented or retweeted. But yeah, it just the thing just took off. Like 91,000 views. Wow.
Anyone have something like that with something either going viral or, again, like a celebrity posting or commenting? 702-364-9400. I know that every time I do your birthday tweet and I tag Antonio Banderas in it because you guys share a birthday, he always likes it. And I always get such a kick out of it that he sees it and he doesn't realize that you and I are being sarcastic with one another. And he thinks I'm genuinely... I mean, he genuinely is a wonderful man, and I'm sure. And I hope that he has since recovered from COVID. But my gosh, he must think I am a super fan because I'm always saying all these nice things
every year
about him.
You know, that could have been the turning point because he had the COVID over his birthday. And maybe he was just really kind of down on himself and opened it up Twitter that morning and saw that sweet message from you.
Who knows? Laura just sent us a message. She says, I barely use Twitter, so imagine my surprise when I see that John Cena now follows me. Oh, my
really?
Gosh.
Why does John Cena follow you?
I don't know. Find out. Give us more details, Laura. Nudia, did you have a celebrity brush with greatness on social media?
I did. Okay, so you know how you could get notifications from people? I found my ex, his notifications for Ashley Graham were on. So I took like a video like busting him and I'm like confronting him about it and he's acting dumb about the whole thing and I posted it on Instagram and she comments on it.
No.
And she's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so cute."
Nuh-uh.
And I'm like, yeah, my boyfriend's stalking you. But I love her. So I was like, oh my gosh, she commented.
That is so cool. Like, you wonder if these celebrities that you tag even look at things. I'll comment on, you know, or send a DM like, yeah, that was great. Or comment on their story. And then you see it. they leave you on scene.
I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
All right, up next, we kick off 60-plus minutes commercial-free.
Go!
It's good to be Louis Capaldi right now. The guy just moved out of his parents' house into a $2 million luxury estate. It's Mix 94.1, Mercedes in the morning, and Louis Capaldi just kicked off 60-plus minutes commercial-free.
What was your bedtime as a child? When you had to go to bed, what time did your parents make you go to bed, and did it depend on how old you were? Because I found something really interesting. There's a chart out that's kind of like the guideline as to what time kids should go to bed and what time they should wake up. And I'll just say I've been doing it wrong this whole time. Do you remember what time it was for you guys?
I do. The majority of our run as a kid going to school was 9 p.m. was bedtime for us. 9 o'clock.
Okay, do you remember how old you were?
I mean, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade? I'm trying to base it on, like, the TV shows that were coming on at 9 o'clock that I couldn't watch. So, yeah, I would say 8th, 9th grade. Even into junior high and high school, it would still at least go up to bed at 9 o'clock. Whether you stayed up and read or watched TV or did something, you had to be up in your room at 9 o'clock. But majority of my schooling years, it was in bed at 9.
Okay, so let's give you an age, and I'm gonna post this chart on our Facebook page, so you have to check it out. Mercedes in the morning. Let's say you're 12 years old. Is that
sure? Yeah, range? I'll take 12. 9 o'clock. Yeah, in bed at 9 at 12.
And what time did you have to wake up in the morning? Because that's what this hinges on when you go to bed.
6, maybe.
Then you should have been going to bed at 8:15 p.m.
No kidding. I needed that much sleep?
8:15 p.m. Yeah. With the start of school, parents everywhere are really struggling to get their kids back on an earlier schedule after this summer of free reign. And this chart is going viral. It's not helping people feel less anxious about it just because you realize maybe you're not sending your kids to bed early enough. They have it based on wake up time. What time does your child have to wake up? Then they have it based on age. So it's a chart from there. So let's say, you know, I got my youngest and I need her up at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And based on her age, she should be going to bed at 9:15.
And does she?
Seems reasonable to me. No, we watched Love Island last night. We were up till 10:30. Because we started late.
But is it different, though, with at-home schooling, or is it still the same? Do you feel, let's say she was waking up and going to school, the whole thing, would you have kept her up that late?
Honestly, I go to bed before her, usually. I think I know when she goes to bed, but I'm not 100% sure on it. She goes into her room, and I'm like, okay, she's in bed. But there have been times where I had to get up in the middle of the night to do something, and I saw underneath her door her light was on. So I go over, I open the door. She's laying on her bed on her iPad. I'm like, it's 11 o'clock. What are you doing? Oh, I lost track of time. No. So I had to take all devices out of the rooms at bedtime because they'll stay up for as long as
you
want.
Yeah, you want them to get their sleep.
What is it? What was your bedtime as a kid, and are you struggling with that now? How does it work? And again, we're going to post this on there. Our bedtime was always 9 o'clock. Same, just got to be in bed by 9 o'clock. I would wake up when I was in high school. I woke up at like 5:30 in the morning. When I was in elementary school, probably like 7 or something like that. But they're saying like a 5-year-old who needs to wake up by 6:30 in the morning, they need to go to bed at 7:15 p.m., it says. 7:15 p.m. Who goes to bed at 7:15 p.m.?
Does it have on this chart a grown adult who gets up at 3 a.m. what time they should be going to bed?
No.
No, it's not on there.
But you're doing well on that. You go to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, my mindset is always 9 o'clock, whether I make it up there at 9. Sometimes it's earlier. If I finish my work and there's nothing going on, sometimes I'll go up at 8:30 and read. Last night was a later night. I think it was closer to 10 last night. But yeah, my mindset is always I want to try to get into bed by 9 o'clock.
That's hard. I can't. I get in bed. Last night I was in bed at 9:15, but I did not go to bed until 10:45, probably.
Do you think having the TV in the bedroom helps you out? It's because we only have one television in our house. It's downstairs. So once we go upstairs, I mean, we have our iPads, and I read off my Kindle and stuff at night. But do you think if there was no TV in your bedroom, you'd go to sleep faster because you wouldn't be watching TV, or you just stay up later downstairs?
No, it would definitely help. Yeah, 100%. But it's not going to happen. I mean, people have told me that for years. Uh-huh. Take your TV out of your bedroom. And the answer is no. I'm not taking my TV out of my bedroom. I will suffer, and I will suffer in silence. I will stop complaining about
it. What was your curfew as a kid?
My curfew as a kid, it was so messed up. Because my younger brother had a later curfew than I did. My younger brother didn't have to get home until 1 o'clock.
Whoa!
I had to be home by 11 o'clock.
Well, now, what age are we talking?
Well, same ages, but different time frames.
Like post-high school or high school?
So, like, 16 years old, I had to be home by 11. But when he was 16, he had to be home by 1. So it was okay for him to stay out later than me. And my dad was just flat out matter of fact about it. He's a boy. Yeah, so what? That's not fair. You're not treating us equal. He's a boy. That's all he would answer me. Did anyone ever have that unfair curfew thing? Because I thought it was bull, man. I was so angry. And that was my curfew throughout high school. I always had to be home at 11 o'clock. It was ridiculous.
I was 10 in high school. 10 o'clock was the curfew. Right after high school, I had 11. And then at some point, it moved to midnight. I think like a year after high school. I'm like, Dad, I'm 19. Can I stay out a little bit later? You be home by midnight. Okay. I'll be home by midnight.
That's so funny. I'd even go home like in college to visit it, like, or even like for winter break or summer. And I still had a curfew of 11.
Go now as an adult? Yeah. Mercedes.
It's 11:01. Where were you, young lady?
Post-sex. That's fascinating. Sleep is so important. We don't realize how much we actually need of it.
And how much kids need of it. That, to me, is what's the most eye-opening, is especially the younger kids. It's an excuse to get them in bed. You just need your sleep. Sorry, it's 6 o'clock. But, you know, you got to wake up early tomorrow.
Show that 5-year-old to study tonight. See?
That's Doja Cat on Mix 94.1. Mercedes in the morning. It is 8:35. And are you ready to go on a vacation anywhere?
Just get out of town. Take
are
a
you
break
just
from
ready?
Everything.
I know you were able to squeeze in a vacation over the summer, which is great. And you guys did a little road trip, which I think a lot of people are jealous about if they haven't been able to do the same.
It was awesome, too. And we kind of took advantage of some of the cheaper rates. And this is something that was not on the radar until the pandemic hit. Because of that, my wife, she wasn't traveling as much. She wasn't traveling at all. So her schedule opened up. And then the country itself started opening back up. And we're like, you know what? Well, I got some time off. You're going to be here in town. Let's hit the road and finally get this Wyoming road trip in the books. And we did. And it was awesome. It was fun. It was easy to do, too.
And that's good to know. So maybe it gives people a little bit of hope as far as, you know, not knowing when this pandemic is going to end and when they will be able to go. But this survey has come out and it says that most couples have not taken a trip in 7 months. It's been 7 months since couples have taken a trip on average. So let's fast forward to 20, hopefully 2021, everything's back to normal.
The roaring 20s take off.
Vaccine, coronavirus, nothing, gone. Everybody's back to normal. Things are open. You can go wherever you want to go. Where's the first place you go? The first place you go. First of all, I like to hear ideas on places to travel. And second of all, I love living vicariously through people. I'm one of those people who's literally not going anywhere right now. So when you did your trip, I was like, oh, I'm so glad he did a trip. I'm going to live vicariously through him. And with people that are going out, I'm like, oh, it's so nice to see that. I'm going to live vicariously through you. So where's the first place you go when everything is back to normal? Text us. Call us. The Finley Volkswagen and Henderson studio line is 702-364-9400.
You had your Utah trip, what, 2 weekends ago? Was it Labor Day weekend? When did you go to Utah?
It was last weekend.
Last weekend?
Yeah. That was nice. It was a nice getaway, change of scenery. But I fast forward. It's not the first place I go.
But now, hold on a second. Let's backtrack from this whole thing. I should pull the audio. When you had your trip to Italy planned, it was big, family vacation.
Don't
you
were remind me.
Working on this thing, savings for this trip, working on this booking, everything, and this little coronavirus thing started. And I remember you talking about canceling stuff, and I'm like, Don't cancel.
You're yeah, gonna just be fine. Go.
Just go.
This will be fine.
What if you're not gonna go to concerts, are you? Just go.
Didn't we have a doctor on that's like, just keep it booked, you're fine. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And like, maybe at the Mercedes, it's March. Your trip is what, July, please.
There's plenty of time. No, no.
Will that be your first trip? Reinstate that thing, or we look somewhere else now?
There was actually two legs of that trip. We were actually going to fly into Paris and go to Disneyland Paris.
Oh, wow.
And then go from there to Italy. So when everything's said and done, See, I don't have the funds anymore because we decided, well, since we're staying at home, let's do a home improvement project. And so that depleted us. But let's say I have funds and I could do it whatever I wanted to do. We would go to Disneyland Paris. That's where I want to go. I really, really, really want to go there.
Ooh.
Where would it be for you?
It would be whoever in my circle of friends or family is getting married next.
Oh, I like that.
You know, just to go to a wedding. And it's funny because our last trip prior to the pandemic was to a wedding. My wife's cousin was getting married in Austin. And we went down there. It was a very special trip because it was her father's side of the family, which she kind of lost touch with. And we reconnected. It was a very emotional, fun trip. But looking back, it was a great wedding, being around a lot of people and the dancing. And there's the cheesiness that goes in a wedding. But then there's the family and friends aspect that's great. So I think... for me, it would be, yeah, next wedding we get invited to be all in. Like, let's do this, hang out with people, go enjoy the party, enjoy the wedding weekend.
What would it be for you? We're getting some text here. This one says, I already have a cruise booked to Alaska for June of 2021. I think we're going to pull this audio. You'll be fine. Yeah, I don't know. Actually, we did an Alaskan cruise last year. It was amazing. You're going to have so much fun. It was so beautiful. And going when it's so hot here and it's so nice and cool up there, you're going to love that. This one says, we're going to take the kids to Disneyland. They deserve it. Yeah, like that's how I feel with Disney. I need a Disney fix. I'm missing Disney in a big way. And if you're a Disney person, you get it. The withdrawals are real. This one says, Disneyland from Dominic. Clubs here in Vegas. Yeah, the day clubs, the night clubs, so many clubs.
Just go clubbing. It's been a few years since I went clubbing, but hey, any year? Roaring 20s take off? Maybe I'll return to my clubbing days for one night.
Yeah, Casey says Arizona to see my mom and dad. Wow, way to make us look bad, Casey. I meant to say I would go visit my mom first in Colorado, and then I would go to Disneyland Paris.
You left that. You're taking your mom with you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes. That's the ticket.
Hot 3's coming up here in about 6 minutes. What do we got?
All right, we're going to talk about making it through an entire day without this. Most Americans say they probably couldn't do it. Also, what do couples say has been the toughest thing for them to deal with in the past 6 months? And research reveals the names of people who complain the most. Spoiler alert, it's not Karen. We're going to tell you all about it coming up next in the Hot 3.
Mercedes in the Morning is giving you non-stop variety with a commercial-free workday kickoff on Mix 94.1.
That's Kygo and One Republic. It's called Lose Somebody right here on Mix 94.1.
It's time for the Mercedes Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
Think about this. How addicted to your phone are you? Could you last an entire day without your phone? It seems like a ridiculous question, but really, could you? According to a new survey, 43% of people say they'd have a tough time making it through an entire day without their phone. And that includes about 1 out of 8 who say it would definitely be a problem. Younger people are more likely than older people to say it would be hard to survive a day without their phone. And women are more likely to say that it would be a problem than men do. People would struggle without their phones. Those people are more likely to say that the internet is their main source of information. They randomly scroll through social media. They'd rather text than talk on the phone. So would it be difficult for you a whole day?
Oh, no, I could do it. Totally could do it.
Yeah?
We still use our computers and stuff at work. So I come into the office, I got my computer, I can do emails here.
Yeah, I wouldn't totally take that away. It's like not taking away all your technology, just your phone.
You don't think you don't think you can go one day without your phone?
I think I could. Yeah, I think I could.
Yeah, I think you could too.
It would don't get me wrong, I would have a little bit of anxiety about it, just wondering, is someone trying to get a hold of me right now? But yeah, having access to the stuff that I need, as long as I have my computer at some point, then it'll be fine.
When it was like 2 weeks ago over at Channel 8, I got there to the TV station, realized I left my phone at home. And that panic does set in. And the first thing I did was I told a coworker, I'm like, hey, do me a big favor and text my wife and tell her that I left my phone at home. And if she needs me, she can reach you and you can tell me if she needs anything. They're like, all right. And they texted my wife, and my wife's like, all right, whatever. That's cool.
She's like, I don't care. Cool. I'm going through his phone as we speak.
What do you do?
Also this morning, half of couples say it's been tough to keep that spark going for these past few months. According to a new survey, more than half say it's been a challenge during the pandemic. The most common things couples have done to try to get that spark back, they say, are at-home date nights, starting a new exercise routine together, and planning a trip that you'll get to take one day in the future. The survey also found that the average couple has not taken a trip, we talked about this, in 7 months, and couples with kids haven't been away without them in an average of 11 months.
Yeah, how does, so you two amazing girls, with everything going on, do you ever get them out of the house? How does one work with the risky business?
No, they're always there.
He said, I'm on a scavenger hunt maybe Sunday afternoon. Hey, girls, go try to find this right now. Go.
They would laugh. They'd be like, you know, we're good. We don't want to do that. It's fine. It's just, yeah, there's definitely a lack of privacy going on right now, but we're all dealing with it, so.
Have you thought about maybe getting a hotel room for the afternoon?
No, we're not even going out to dinner. I'm not going to go stay in a hotel. Come on now.
Go for a long ride.
Where?
But that's not comfortable, though.
Yeah, it
sounds
really
so sexy.
Not.
Yeah, that's like the beach. Awful. Sand. Come on now.
Yeah. If you have any other ideas, I'm all for them. Just, you got to come up with something.
I'll come up with
that.
One that works.
A tent in the backyard.
Oh, build the girls a treehouse. I'm like, we don't want a treehouse. I'm like, okay, we'll go up in your treehouse then.
First of all, I have to get my homeowners association involved in that. And I'm just not, I've been there before, and that's not something I'm willing to take on.
What about a shed? Matt needs a shed for all of his tools.
Again, HOA. I want a tough shed. I saw the Tough Shed factory the other day. We drove past it. I'm like, I want a tough shed.
Right here, 215 and yes. Town Square? Yeah, it looks awesome down there.
That looks so cool. Like, can we just get a tough shed? And he's like, what are you going to put in a tough shed? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll make it like a she shed and, you know, decorate it cool and put a TV back there and just do my thing. And he's like, I think we got to get that approved.
Do you? Because I've always wanted a shed in my backyard. Same thing. I don't know what I'll put in there. I sold my dirt bike. I have nothing to put in my shed. But I just want it out there. I don't put some stuff in there.
Yeah, just the extra stuff that you have that maybe you have in a closet right now, but you'd like to make room in that closet. So just put it out in the shed.
Do you have to have your HOA's approval, though? Is it even in your backyard?
Yeah. They're like, because you have backyard neighbors.
Yeah.
At least in my neighborhood. Yeah. It's like a thing.
Do you have to get...
When we sneeze, we have to like call them and say, is it okay if I sneeze?
What about solar panels on your roof? Do you have to get approval from your... From the HOA or from the neighbors?
Both. You have to get a little piece of paper where you go to your neighbors and like, hi, we were going to put solar panels on our house. Do you mind? No, we don't mind. Can you sign this, please? Thank you. And then you have to give that to the HOA.
Okay, so what if neighbors are putting up solar panels and they didn't get your signature?
Oh.
I didn't know that. My neighbors right now are putting up. I came home from work on Friday. And there's this loud music coming from my neighbor. I'm like, man, he's a quiet guy. But all of a sudden, he's partying. I look over, and there's like 15 dudes on his roof. I'm like, what is going on? And I realize they're putting in for solar panels.
Is it your next door neighbor? Oh, I think that they were.
There's a walkway that separates us, but I come in my backyard. I see his roof, and he is every square inch of that roof, both sides, the back. It's all getting solar paneled.
I think you may have. I think you may have a situation that you can go. I mean, if it bothers you, if it doesn't bother me.
It's like the roof's a roof. As long as it doesn't like shine down on me or something like that, I'm cool with it.
Watch them angle it so it like shines right into your window.
That's the thing, though.
I didn't approve this.
Is there a reflection off of it?
I've not ever experienced that.
It's not like a mirror, but yeah. Oh, wow. So if he rubs me the wrong way, I can call HOA and be like, hey.
We got a text that says, I work for an HOA property management if you have any questions. Yes, call us. We should have a segment where it's Ask the HOA, and that way we can get some definitive answers. Can you answer whether or not that neighbor needed JC's approval on those? Because I think it varies from neighborhood to neighborhood. Yeah. Like maybe in your neighborhood it's not as strict, but like literally we wanted to change our front door to a different door, uh-huh. and we had to go to our neighbors. We had to go to our two side neighbors and our direct across the street neighbor and ask, can we change our door? And the first guy's like, yeah, no problem, absolutely. Second guy, yeah, go for it. Third one, what are you changing it to?
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm like, well, we're going to do this and get it, you know, so we can put a window in it.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you have any blueprints of it? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, I do, actually. Okay, that looks nice. Okay, we'll approve it. Oh. I'm just like, if they didn't think it looked nice, would they be like, nope, slam?
My buddy did some work to his backyard, and he had to submit the approvals to the HOA community, and they approved of everything. He built like a little patio area and stuff, and so he built it, and then his neighbor was complaining that it had obstructed his view, and he's like, dude, I submitted the plans to the HOA. This guy is now suing the HOA.
Oh, yeah, it was all their fault?
Yeah, because they approved the plans, which now interferes with my buddy's neighbor's view.
Okay, we have Jenna, the HOA girl, on the phone. Jenna!
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Jenna from the HOA, you can answer our questions. JC wants to know, does his neighbor need approval from him for his solar panels?
Well, it's not JC's approval. It's just a courtesy to let, you know, JC know that they're going to be doing work on the property.
Yeah, I mean,
so technically, no.
Okay, yeah, because at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me. He's doing a good thing, solar panels and stuff. It's just a lot going on over there, and I was thinking, I'm looking at something different now at his house, but it doesn't bother me. So he can just, it's a courtesy thing. It's not a signature thing.
Right. It's just a courtesy, letting them know, like, hey, I'm going to be doing some work on my property, just in case there's like construction or work or loud noises, you're aware.
And so what's the most common complaint you get from people working in the HOA?
Oh, lately with quarantine, everybody hates their neighbors.
Ain't that the truth, sister? Oh, my gosh. So they're just complaining on everything? Here's a question I have, because we've talked about this on the show, and I know it bothers a lot of people. When neighbors park in front of your house,
yeah.
Do you have any sort of rights on that end, or is it just a free-for-all?
It depends on each community, whatever's in their rules and regulations. So some communities, you're not allowed to park in front of your neighbor's home, and others, it's a free-for-all.
That can get dicey. Any other questions, JC?
The shed. Mercedes and I both want to get sheds in our backyard. Do I need to get my neighbor's approval if it's in my backyard?
You need to get the HOA approval because it is your backyard and you're making a change to the outside appearance. You just need your neighbor's signatures as far as them just being aware that you're making a change. It's not their approval. It's the HOA. It's really the board's approval.
Now, I have another question, too. Last one here. So there is, I've got a fence in my backyard that separates my property from the street. Can I turn my fence into a gate so I can easily leave my property to go out to the street?
You would just need to fill out an ACT form and get it approved by the board. But yeah, I don't see why they would deny that.
Look at this stuff.
Why do you want to go out to the street?
Well, instead of like walking.
Hey, baby. This is easier than walking all the way around. Hey, baby.
Yeah, instead of like walking out the front gate around the walkway and everything, I literally could make a gate and be out on the street.
Let me ask you a question. Why are you walking out there? To go running?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you don't want to run all the way around. You want to just a quick... Does that not defeat the purpose?
That's a good point.
Jenna, thank you for answering our questions. We want to get your phone number, so if we ever have any HOA questions, will you be our go-to HOA person?
Absolutely. I'm actually at a property doing an inspection right now.
Oh! Violation! Violation! Thank you so much, Jenna. That's funny. JC doesn't want... He goes out to run, but he doesn't want to run too far.
Mercedes will save me 15 steps. Was that the last one?
That's it.
All right, let's get back into 60-plus minutes commercial-free. It's Billie Eilish, Everything I Wanted. Mix 94.1, Mercedes in the morning. Mercedes in the hot three. We started talking about the HOA and the rules and regulations of HOA. And during that talk, one of my neighbors called up that I never met, and we just met via phone, exchanged phone numbers, and now I now know a new neighbor of mine.
Oh, that's good. Now you guys can hang out and have neighborhood barbecue, socially distanced, of course, in your cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I said, if you ever need anything, here's my number. Give me a call. And she said, absolutely. Thank you very much.
I just hope you know, neighbor, that he does not mean that. He's not going to answer the phone when you call, so don't call him if you need anything.
I did give her the wrong number.
It was a fake offer. No, I'm just kidding. Of course. Said,
I gave her Mercedes' number. What?
Speaking of numbers, people are texting us on our text line, the Findlay Volkswagen and Henderson text line at 702-364-9400. And apparently I forgot to do one of my stories in the hot three.
We got so caught up in HOA talk, we went on and on. Which story was it?
But it was the one about new research has revealed the names of people who complain the most. And I guess everyone's worried that they're on this list. So obviously Karen has become the popular name about if you complain, you're a Karen. But is that actually true? They used new research took reviews from popular tourist spots around the world to find out the names of the people that complain the most. And according to their data, Karens, they're not even in the they're in the top 10, but they're not even number one, okay?
So this is legit research based on complaints.
It's based on TripAdvisor reviews, yeah. Okay? So let's be honest. When you go to TripAdvisor, there's not a lot of middle ground. It's either like rave reviews or just horrible reviews. So according to the research, they found that the biggest female complainers are, take a guess, not Karen. But if you had to go with a number two in your mind, who would it be? Because Karen is number two on this list.
Oh.
But there's one name that above Karen actually complains the most.
I'm going to say it only because she was still my parents' neighbor. And growing up, she complained about everything. She was the busybody. Her name was Judy. So I'm going to go with Judy, just based on the Judy that I know. Judy.
That's a great guess, but no Judy in the top 10. How about you, Nudia? Think of a female complainer. What's her name?
Jerry, growing up.
Jerry? Oh, are we going guys or is that a female Jerry?
That was a female.
Female Jerry? No female Jerry.
No.
And there's no male Jerrys. Because we have a list of male complainers too, don't you worry.
Ah, shoot.
The number one answer is Kim. Kim's complain the most. Hi, this is Kim. And I would like to say, I was very unhappy with my treatment at your establishment. The pieces of pizza were too small. The napkins were paper. And I don't like paper straws and you serve them. So this is Kim, and that's my complaint.
Seago Kim, I think Kim Wagner, and she is a very sweet, pleasant woman. I don't see her being a complainer. Maybe she is. I still know it, but she doesn't seem like a complainer.
Yeah, that's the number one answer. You got Kim, you got Karen. Then at number three, you have Susan.
Susan.
Yes, this is Susan. Hi.
All the tone way you say it is so funny.
Yeah, we're sitting outside and there's a dog out there. And she's on a leash, but it's really bothering me. Can you please get that dog out of here?
Hey, Susan, see the restaurant next door? Why don't you go dine there?
Yeah, I would, but I have allergies. I can't eat there. I'm so sorry. So could you please? Sue is number four. And Sarah is number five. Those are your biggest female complainers. Okay?
What about the guys?
All right. Let's do some voice acting here. At number five for the biggest male complainers. Hey, it's me, Andrew. I have a complaint to make. I bought this TV 5 years ago, and there's a new model, so I'd like to exchange it for the new one. I'm Andrew, and I'm complaining.
All right, Andrew.
Okay. Number four is Mark. Mark is a big complainer on this one. Hi, I'm Mark, and I really feel like, I don't know. What's he complaining
about? I don't have enough time.
So much time. John is number three.
My brother is not a complainer. He's the sweetest man I know. He never complains.
He is such a sweet man. But go with a different John. I don't know. Maybe a Jonathan.
Okay.
Maybe a Jay Love.
Oh, our boss. He just sent me a text message, too. Oh,
was he complaining about something?
Yes.
What's he complaining about?
So we were playing the Lady Gaga Ariana Grande song. And about halfway through the song, I was loading stuff into the computer system. And accidentally loaded something over the song, so it stopped playing and skipped to the next song. So he just, he knows what's he knows what happened. But he wrote, I just heard Lady Gaga fade out. Is there something wrong with wide orbit? That's the system we use. I mean, he knew what happened. Someone that works at the radio station, you hear what's going on, you know what happened, but and I explain what happened. He was cool with it, but it's just funny, his message.
Well, it's accurate, apparently. So, John, Jay, you're on this one. Number two, biggest male complainer. This is David, and I have a complaint. Look. I ordered my DirecTV on Sunday, October 5th, and you started charging me on Saturday, October 4th. I'd like a refund for that day. Thank you. This is David.
David, I heard a Cox cable. Go use them.
Yeah, they're my internet provider, okay?
Well, I hope he has no affiliation to the number one name. The biggest complainer of men is Paul.
Why did you gasp? Lydia, do you know a Paul?
I do know a Paul.
Does he complain a lot?
Yeah, it's my uncle, and I don't like him that much.
Really? Wow. Does he live here in town?
No.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in years.
Where does Uncle Paul live?
But you know, like, we call him, like, Grumpy Uncle Paul. Mexico.
Oh, man.
So, he's got a
definitely
story.
Not listening. I hope he doesn't download the podcast. I was thinking of Paul McCartney. He's like, hello, it's Paul. I'd like to make a complaint. Why did we break up?
That's a great impression.
Thank you.
Good? There's no Christina, Pink, Maya, or Little Kim on the list?
Gosh, there is a Lil' Kim. She's number one, for God's sake. Kim was number one.
That's right. Complaining she's not top billing on this song for some reason. It's Mix 94.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.